Today is found in the first book of the Bible called Genesis, the first chapter, concerning the creation. Of this book, Genesis, was taken, the name of it was taken from the Greek translation. It means origin, or it means improvement. This book, Genesis, comprises somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,300 and some years of history. It was 1,639 years when God brought the flood upon the earth. From then on, we find that this book begins the history of various patriarchs. It ends with the death of Joseph. This was 714 years after the flood. This book then gives us the history likewise of the creation of this universe. The first verse is, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." This is the first article of our Christian creed. We believe that the Almighty God, the Father, created the universe out of nothing. He is the object of our faith and of our belief. He is the beginning of all true religion. He then created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. This teaches us that the earth and the heavens had a beginning, that they are not from eternity as some teach. God then created this vast mass of expanse. The earth, when it was created, was without form. It was void, and darkness was upon the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. This great, immense mass had no form. It had no shape. It had nothing upon it. It was darkness. It was void of anything. It was confusion. It was chaos until God began to separate it. This mass, this chaos, this confusion resembled our state and condition by nature. We are in induced sin of chaos. We are a mass of confusion, of ignorance, of blindness, of foolishness, until the almighty grace of God takes possession of us, we remain in this state. This great mass, then, God looked down upon it, and he spake unto it and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We take notice of the greatness of the Word of God, the power of it. "For he but spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. It was with him a word, and a world was made." So it is only by his word and by his spirit that we likewise can be created anew, can be given to experience life which we have not by nature. We are in darkness, in ignorance, and blindness. And when he speaks, then we begin to see in his light light. God created then the light, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. He separated these two eternally. There'll never be any joining of them. But this teaches us that God is the parent of light. He dwells in a light that is inaccessible. He is called the Father of light. And in him only there is light. All others are in darkness, except he doth descend with his Spirit in our hearts and give us life. Of this he does in the day of regeneration. Of this he says, let there be light, and there is light. Oh, that he may say that to every one of you listening to me, that you may begin to see what you are, what you have become, what God is, how good he is, how gracious he is, how almighty he is, how great in immensity he is. This God hath but to speak the word, and it shall take place. As in creation he spake, let there be light, and there was light. God then in the first day created the light. And we read, and it was the evening and the morning of the first day. Why does it say this? The evening and the morning. There are various opinions concerning this, which you read continually after God has done something upon a day. We must not understand it as we have it, the evening and the morning. Does this mean, as some interpret it, that it was darkness, it was night, when God created the heavens and the earth? When this mass was created, there was no light yet. For this, they believe, you could take for the evening. And when he spake, let there be light, then you could take that for the morning. We know that the Jewish people, they begin their day in the evening. It goes from one evening to the next evening. The Jews were the ones that were the most, that could let others know the mind of God, because they had Moses and they had the prophets to instruct them. And from their instruction, they believed that the day began when God said, let there be light. And there was nothing else but darkness before this. Therefore, their days begin in the evening and end the next evening. We find then that God went forth creating by his almighty power. And then he created the firmament. God said, let there be a firmament. And when he said, let there be a firmament, he separated the waters from above the firmament to the waters underneath the firmament. But this firmament is what we would call the atmosphere, that which we look up unto. He separated the waters then out of this mass from above and beneath. And God said, let there be a firmament. And there was this firmament. This firmament, as we look up into the heavens, is that blue, that vast expansion that we look into. It stretches itself forth all over. When we look up and see this, we are to contemplate upon the vastness and the immensity of God, and how that he likewise, from this place of abode, above this firmament, doth rule and reign upon the earth, and likewise rules and reigns in the heavens above. So this brings us to the great contemplation of our Creator. He made this firmament. He separated the waters. There were then nothing but waters when he likewise created this mass. And then we find that the next day he began to separate the waters from the firmament. He gathered the waters that were under the firmament into places and cavities which he had prepared for them. And the waters above the firmament he gathered likewise. In this we find that God has control over the waters. The waters that he gathered together and caused the dry land to appear, he called seed, and the earth that came forth, he called it dry land. This shows unto us how mighty God was in both speaking and commanding these things to take place. He called the waters that he placed in these cavities seas. These seas are all connected with each other. We read in the book of Proverbs or Ecclesiastes that all the rivers run into one place. They wash upon many shores, the seas, but they all have communication with each other. The Lord then brought forth the dry land out of the waters, and it began to appear. This was visible, this was to be seen. These seas that God created are great, are immense. Anyone that sails the seas is brought to that which we read of in Psalm 107. They that get down to the seas and ships see his wonders in the deep. And we likewise who are on dry land, we may look up and see the wonders of God's creation in the heavens. He made this firmament. We read in Psalm 8 of how that when we look up and we see the moon and we see the stars, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou thinkest upon him? We read in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. We are led in our thoughts to this glorious and this divine being, who is the being of all beings. Now God created likewise those things that we read of in this chapter. I just can't keep my mind on everything. I'm a little confused myself at the present time. But he created likewise great lights. Two immense lights, and the stars also he created. The greater light to rule in the day, and the lesser light to rule in the night. These things God used for mankind. In this creation, we take particular notice that before man was created, God made everything for mankind. He made the seas, he made the dry land, he made likewise come forth out of the earth the seed bearing its seed. He created grass, he created herbs, he created trees bearing fruit. Now this was even before that the sun and the moon and the stars were created. We see that God did not need the sun to bring forth fruit, because when he created these fruit trees, they were bearing already ripe fruit. He just spake, and it was done. He commanded these things to come forth, and they came forth. How wonderful was God in this respect, just by speaking. We see then that likewise he brought also out of the seas and in the seas fish for the service of mankind. He placed so many things upon the earth before man was created and man came forth. of these things that he done were to use of the earth and the sea for the benefit and the service of human beings. God then in his greatness and in his love and in his goodness thought of man before he was formed. He made, I would say, a house for man to dwell in. This earth was to be his habitation. This is where he was to live. And before he even came forth, God had all these things ready for man. God then likewise created these great lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And these lights are beneficial for mankind, and likewise for the ground, for the fruits on the trees. These things need a certain amount of heat to make them grow. So this light that God created for the first day is a mystery. Some think that on the fourth day, when he created the sun and the moon, he gathered the light into these bodies, and from then on, light has come down upon the earth in and through the sun and moon. But there are various opinions concerning the light that he created the first day. Matthew Henry says, we know it is, we don't know where it came from, and how that it still exists, we do not know. Some think that God created this light by luminous waves. As when we speak, our voice travels, and so voice travels through the air. So God created this by illuminating what it was, they do not know. Philosophers say it was ether. Some say it was fire. This caused light to come. And now, on the fourth day, God created two great lights. And in these lights, they are used ever since for the benefit of this world. What a chaos of darkness would this world be if God had not given light and had not given the sun and the moon and the stars? We would be in darkness and remain in darkness. But he, in his great love and mercy, gave these immense lights to shine down upon the world. They do not need their light themselves, neither do the world of spirits above need this light of the sun or the moon. It is only us that need this, because God dwells in a light, and the spirits that are with him are in a light continually. We go from day to night. There is a change continuously from light to darkness. In heaven, it's continually light. There's no darkness. In hell, there's nothing else but darkness, eternal darkness. But we benefit by this, what God has created. He then has given these things for us. May we think of him who is the light himself, and who has formed this wonderful light in the sun, in the moon, and outside of the sun and moon likewise. The Lord then, he did a wonderful work when we view this universe upon which we live. He created then likewise out of the seas and out of the earth, he brought forth animals. He brought forth insects, creeping things. He had already created grass, herbs for these cattle that were to come, and now he went ahead and created the cattle and the things that began to live. These things God formed himself. How wonderful when we view the various species of vegetables, of flowers, of animals, of insects. We can see in them the hand of our Creator. No one could form them as we see them but him. They likewise are used for the service of mankind. This God in heaven above created likewise us, human beings. After he had created all these things, we read on the sixth day, then he said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. We take particular notice that he said, let us. This proves to us that there is a plurality in the Godhead, that there are three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when he said, let us, he spake to the other two in the Godhead. Let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. God took from the ground and formed man from the dust of the earth. We are the masterpiece of God's creation. We are the image of God. We bore his image when he created us. We have been given to come forth in this wonderful manner, made out of the dust of the earth. Oh, that we were given to realize that we are but dust, and that we will return to the dust. As he has said, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. So he spake unto Adam, and so it is fulfilled in every one that passes away from this universe. This man that God formed, he was a beautiful man. He was the image bearer of that great and glorious and divine God whom we are speaking of. He resembled him in every way. He was perfect. He was holy. He was without sin. Oh, what a wonderful man Adam was when God brought him forth into this world. God looked upon everything that he had made, and he seen that it was very good. Almost after every day, you read this, and God saw what he had made was good. This is put in for this reason, that what God had made was perfect. There was no flaws in it. There wasn't anything wrong with it. That all of the things that we find in ourselves and in this world that are wrong came in and through sin, in and through the fall. Otherwise, there would be nothing like affliction and like pain and things that are misformed, things that we see round about us, even in humanity. How many poor creatures are born crippled, blind, born with diseases that they only live a little while with and they pass away. This would never have been, my hearers, had we not sinned. All the mischief, all the misery, all what goes on in this world is from sin and not from God. He's not the cause of it. For what he made was very good. He then likewise created male and female. He took man, as I said, from the dust of the earth. but he also took a rib. In the second chapter we read of Adam, and he formed a woman for this man. There was no helpmate for Adam amongst everything that God had made. And then God decided to make a helpmate for him. How wonderful that he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And while he slept, he took a rib from Adam's body and formed a woman for him, a beautiful woman. Some think she was the most beautiful woman that ever was. She was perfect. She was like Adam. She was without sin. And he brought her to Adam. And he joined them together in marriage. And Adam, he called her woman because she was taken from man. What a wonderful state and condition that these two people were in. I hope that every one of us may be brought into that state and condition where we come to die, to be with God. Then we will be even, I think, better than Adam and Eve. For they were in a state and a condition where they could fall. And they did fall. But once they enter this world comes, and this world is judged, those that will be given to enter into the presence of God and be with him forever will be in a better state than Adam and Eve was. There'll be never, no falling away from God. They will be eternally like God and be with God. When I think of this, my hearers, I'm lost. I hope there may be some amongst my hearers that are desiring that they may be with God. Blessed be God forever and ever. To think that you will be in a place where you'll never be sick anymore, where you'll never have any more pain, where you'll never sin anymore, where you will be like he is forever and ever in his enjoyment. All my hearers, we cannot even fathom what that will be, for the word is beyond us. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor is it come up into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him. May I ask you, do you love him? Oh, there may be some souls here that say, I wish I knew that I loved him. I wish I knew that he loved me. He is your creator. He is your benefactor. He has brought you forth. And everything that you go through in this life is under his government, under his rule, his superintendent. And when the time may come that he may come into your heart by his blessed and holy spirit and create you anew and give you that life which shall never perish, then you will begin to know something of this great and this glorious and this divine being. For then you will feel in your heart such a desire, such a longing for this God, that you may be given to know him as your God. Are there any here that long for that? Wouldn't you want to be reconciled with this grief and this glorious being whom I'm attempting to speak of, my language? Oh, I'm afraid. What shall I say of it? I am no orator. I am not eloquent. I have no ability even to teach my class this afternoon out of this particular chapter. So ignorant I feel myself to be when I am talking about this glorious and this great and infinite being. Oh, that you all may be given the feeling what sex of dust we are in comparison with him with whom we have to do. For this glorious and divine being, he then took this man and took this woman that he had created, and he placed them in a beautiful garden. And in this garden there was everything that was necessary for their comfort and for their sustenance. All they had to do was to work and to eat and to drink and to enjoy what God had given unto them. For they were then in the immediate presence of their Creator in their glorious God. They walked with him, they talked with him. He was their friend, he was their companion. How long that this existed, no one knows. Some make rash statements. Some say it only lasted a day. Others, a few days. We do not know. Scripture does not teach us anything of this. But we do know that they knew God. They heard him when they were walking in the garden. They knew him by the voice that he spake. And now, what a mercy if you are given to know this God by his voice in your own heart and soul. With this couple living together in peace, in unity, in love, bearing the image of their Creator, they were attached to each other by the love that God had placed in their hearts. They were attached to this God of love who likewise loved them. God then took care of Adam and Eve when he had created them. But when he created them, he gave them a law. So this law they were to obey. They were allowed to eat of all the trees that were in the garden except one. And that was the tree of life and of knowledge. Of this tree they were forbidden to eat the fruit thereof, but of all other things they were allowed to eat. So this one commandment God gave unto these people, and they were to obey him. They had the ability to do so. They were like God. They were free of sin. They were fully capable of keeping this law. But as we know from history, they did not keep this law. And then through the instrumentality of Satan and the woman likewise falling into sin, into temptation, and she brought of this wonderful thing in this world. That is, that in and through this fall, salvation has come in the universe. There was no need for salvation before this. But after she fell and transgressed this law and caused her husband likewise to transgress, then salvation was pronounced immediately, right after it happened. How wonderful was God in this, granting unto these people to hear that of the seed of the woman there would come forth one that would bruise the head of this serpent that had tempted her and had caused her to give way. So this God then likewise provided in his wonderful providence and grace a way of escape for these people. Of this way is still open. It is still proclaimed. There is only one name under heaven given amongst men, and that is that precious name, Jesus Christ. In him there is a full and a free atonement made, not only for Adam and Eve's sins, but for the sins of everyone whom God has chosen from all eternity. Oh, to know that you are one of them, to be led to Calvary, to be given to see that our Creator gave in His unspeakable love His dear Son Jesus, so that sinners such as Adam and Eve and you and I may be again reconciled with Him and be given to know Him as our God, to be reconciled through His death and blood, and to find peace with Him, to call Him your Father, your God, your companion, your friend. Oh, who would not, if they have any grace in their souls, desire that this they would know in this life and would be given to believe it for their own heart and soul. The Lord bless my feeble attempt this afternoon to your heart, for His name's sake.